is that. That's War Heat and Better Scream. I think I'll describe you now as nomad and musician, because you were telling me when that record was playing that you don't have a bass.
No, that's right. I stay wherever I can in London, at friends' houses or manager's house or whatever, you know, or sometimes stay with the rest of the lads in the band, you know. So, I'm a basic wanderer.
Wherever I find my hat, that's my home.
That's it, yeah.
Doesn't that get a bit sort of lonely, really?
Well, it does, yeah, but, I just sort of, it sort of keeps you on your toes, really. I like wandering about, and you know, I sort of don't like staying in London that much, you know, because I haven't really found an area of London that I really fell in love with it. And I don't sort of feel that you can walk down the street and say hello to about a million people like you can in North Wales, where I live, anyway.
In Prestatyn?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
How often do you get to Prestatyn now?
Quite a lot. I go home a lot, you know, stay for the weekends and things like that. But going to America soon anyway, so probably won't get a chance to go much now for the rest of the year.
But when you do go home, I mean, how do the people there treat you? Are you a bit of a hero?
No, they always treat me as just Mike from down the road, who's a bit weird in school, you know.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Were you weird then?
Well, I wasn't weird. I didn't think I was weird, but probably everyone thought it was weird. I had weird ideas into funny kind of music and, you know, things like that, you know, funny haircut and all that sort of stuff, or ahead of me time for around there anyway.
You used to make regular trips to Liverpool as well, didn't you?
That's right, yeah.
The Eric's days.
That's it. That's why Better Scream is my favourite record. I remember buying that off Pete Wiley himself in Matthew Street. And it's just a record that inspired us in The Alarm to go out and make our own record, made our first single ourselves, Unsafe Pills, and released it in the same way that Pete Wiley had done Better Scream. And Eric's was a tremendous place, and that's where we learnt about music and felt the real thing, the music of seeing all those young bands there and being part of the audience with the Bunny Men and War and, you know, Flock of Seagulls, Pete Burns, every sort of pop star.
He was always in the Lady Blue, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, I never actually saw him in there. I saw him by the bar with his big black quiff out here somewhere.
They were great days, I remember that, because the loos were always flooded and you used to have to sort of wade through to get to the actual toilet.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. It was brilliant there, you know. I remember we played there, the first time we ever played there, we did a Saturday afternoon audition, and we were all amazed. Bob Geldof was in the audience, you know. He came up and said, "Oh, I really like your band, you know," and all that. We just made up, and then in the night we ended up playing with The Clash, and, you know, it was just great days in Eric's, and that was all about 1977 and that.
So did you have aspirations before that to become musicians?
Not really, not until we sort of really got to Eric's, and then we felt the sort of, you know, that just the whole sort of buzz around the place. Everyone was starting bands or fanzines or trying to become DJs, probably like yourself. You're probably aspiring in those days. And, it was there that really made me think that I could make a go for it and have the courage to jack in the job that I had at the time and try and make a living out of music. And, you know, that, it was the initial inspiration. And there's a new song on our new LP called Spirit of 76, and it's all about us growing up and coming to Liverpool for the first time and going to Matthew Street and seeing the sign about the Beatles on the wall and, you know, the Mersey lights and all that, and just seeing what happened to our friends in those few years that have gone on.
Because it's strange what did happen to all of those people. I mean, so many of them did become well-known musicians.
That's
or well-known,
right,
whatever. So I always think it's quite remarkable.
A lot of people there saw that from Eric's got a dream from that place, and a lot of them saw those dreams come true.
I don't think Bruce Springsteen played there.
No, I don't think he did, actually.
Imagine him down there.
I don't think he even played his record. He was at a BOF and when we were all going to college.
Yes, he was. Why did you go for this, Taught the Stolen Car?
Well, I hope I never end up like the character in this song. It's about a guy who's lost out in his relationship and ended up stealing cars. And I think that, funny enough, that says a lot about what a few people would go through in these days, and I just hope that I can avoid this scenario painted in this song.
Imagine you ever ending up like the person portrayed in that song, because you seem to be really level-headed.
Yeah, well, it's a sad song, you know, and I don't like feeling sad either, so quite a cheerful chap, really.
But it's funny because I don't know about you, but if I'm feeling sad, I will put on music that makes me feel even more sad.
Yeah, there's something about, you know, I love singing along to that record. I play it at night, play it really loud and sing it if I'm driving along in the car or something. It's good to practice singing to. It's a great song to, you can really get inside the character as well, you know.
Are you a level-headed chap, as I said? I mean, you seem as though nothing's ever affected you and, you know, you just sort of...
Well, I'm good at hiding the emotions, really,
are you?
I think. I still bounce around a lot, you know.
You're always grinning.
Yeah, that's what everyone says, yeah. That affects the way I talk as well, probably. Always got a smile on my face. I tend to just bounce around, really, and I'm good at bouncing back. If things go wrong, I don't sort of dwell on them and let them sort of, you know, depress me even further. I always sort of think of something else I can do and try a better way of doing it, really.
But isn't it difficult when you're the bouncy sort of person, because people always expect you to be the life and soul of the party? And, you know, I mean, if you do have an off day, it's like, well, what's wrong with you then?
Yeah. No, I'm sort of, if I want to be, I'd be fairly quiet. I'm usually quiet, and a lot of the time people are talking to me, and then I sort of think, oh, that was good, what someone said, and it starts off a song in my head, you know. Next minute you can't talk to me for a few hours, you know, because I'm sort of thinking up songs and writing lyrics. I always sort of write the songs and the lyrics in my head, really. I don't never really write anything down. So I think if you can remember it, it's much better than, you know, we have a little saying in the band, if you can't remember it ourselves, there's no way to remember it anyway. Can't expect the people to remember it if you can't remember it yourself, really.
Good motto.
Yeah.
Who are your favourite songwriters all time?
Pete Wiley. We've played his song before. I like Springsteen as well. But who? I think Townsend's a brilliant songwriter as well. And Eddie MacDonald from the band, he's my hero songwriting wise. He comes up with some fantastic melodies. It's a pleasure to write lyrics to some of the melodies he comes up for us. I think you two are exceptional with songwriting, although they don't sort of sit down and write their songs. They kind of like just fuse all the elements of the band and see what happens. But I think that by they've written some tremendous songs by luck. And I can admire a lot the great songwriters, you know, like Burt Bacharach and Elton John. You know, even though sort of maybe I don't particularly like their music and play it all the time, I can appreciate them as songwriters. And I like a lot of the Tamla Motown writers, like Lamont Dozier and Holland and those sort of people. You know, I just like good songs. I'm not been really taken up by bands who've got a special sort of guitar sound or something weird, you know, like, say, Jimi Hendrix or someone like that, you know. He played guitar excellently, but I don't think he really wrote brilliant songs, to my mind, except for, say, Hey Joe or something like that. But I've always liked songs that you can pick up on the guitar and just learn them and sing them on the subway or things like that, you know.
What about Lennon and McCartney?
Well, they're the ultimate, probably. They wrote so many amazing melodies. And lyrically, John Lennon, I think, was something out of this world, really. Everything to be said about the Beatles has been said. You've just got to let the music do the talking.
And you picked Dr. Robert.
Dr. Robert, yeah. When we were recording our new album, Strength, we were playing this LP a lot for inspiration, especially Eddie was, and some of the sounds that they got on the instruments were really ahead of their time, and I think this record really earned the Beatles so much respect, because it was the first time they really broke out of writing just pure straight pop songs and started to write something different. And I think this is the album that really had an awful lot of inspiration on today's music.
24 hours a day, or do you ever escape from it, Mr. Peters?
I escape a lot from it, actually.
What do you get up to?
Well, I like to stay fit and do a lot of running and do a lot of training during the week, you know, in the Charing Cross Hospital. I train there quite a lot. You know, I've got a marathon coming up soon.
Well, I was going to say, on Sunday, you're actually taking part in the New York Marathon, aren't
you? That's right, yeah.
How did you get involved in that?
Well, last Christmas, I went to Glasgow with a friend of mine, and he's got a nephew, and his name's Alexander, and I've become really close friends with him, but he's confined to a wheelchair and with cerebral palsy. And I just thought, you know, I felt I was still a young man and I didn't feel very fit, and I love sport. And I saw him and I thought he couldn't run and things, and I thought, I should be able to do anything with my body. It's in perfect condition. And I thought I'd really let it go to waste. So I really decided to put in an effort and run and, you know, maybe run for charity organisations or whatever. And I was just the inspiration, really, and then I put on a bit of weight as well. So I just took to the streets and started running, and then I thought I could easily give in if I didn't have a name, so I thought I'd enter myself in a half marathon and did a half marathon at Wembley Stadium and finished in that, and then I thought, right, I'm going for the full whack here. So I entered for the New York Marathon and got my entry form 2 weeks ago, and set off in the next few days for New York, do a bit of training in Central Park, and then it's a big day on Sunday.
Why did you pick New York?
Well, I picked it because we're starting a tour there next week, and I just picked it to coincide with that, really. I did try to get in the London Marathon, but I was too late to get in an entry for that, and it's very hard to get into the London Marathon because there's so many entries. And I was going to run in the North Wales Marathon, which was a few weeks ago, but I ended up playing in a charity football match instead. So
what do you think your time will be?
I'd like to do it in 3.5, but I think I'll probably end up coming in about 4 hours. But I think I could go for 3.5. I'll be pushing for it. I think with the inspiration of running with 15,000 people and a million of people that cheer you along the way, I think that'll push me into get a really good time.
Well, all the best.
Thank you.
That's brilliant, brilliant. Stevie Wonder, Living to the City.
Great record. Coming from North Wales, you're... I've always been exposed to soul music because it's very big in our area, especially Northern Soul with all the Wigan Casino and all that sort of music. Everybody in the area loves soul music, and myself included. And this is a great record. It's always been played in the clubs in North Wales, and I think it's a fantastic song. Steve Wonder's brilliant singer, brilliant songwriter, Living for the City.
Do you want to be a DJ? Conversation here about athletics and how records are being broken. One day it's got to stop, hasn't it? Because one day you won't be able, I mean, it would mean that you wouldn't even have to run. You could just sort of beam yourself up and finish.
Yeah, I can see the day when no one can go faster.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know when it's going to be. Just got to keep getting better athletes and push it to the limit.
But I do admire your willpower in training, because, I mean, it would be very easy for you to fall into the rock and roll lifestyle, wouldn't it, and be out sort of drinking every night or staying in studios or whatever. So you've got to have this incredible willpower to fit in training and what have you.
Yeah, I suppose so. I'm just luckily enough I've got my entry form in. I think if I wasn't actually entered in the race, I might have stopped or something like that, or cut off the amount of training that I do. But yeah, I'm running about 40-50 miles a week, and
gosh, that is crazy. Do you have wild nights out or anything like that?
Well, now and again when I go home, you know, and all my friends are at home and that, I go out with them. And but I don't go out much in London, and you know, usually stay at home or wherever I'm you know, I'm usually not staying in a home anyway, so usually spend half the time in London going from one place to the next or humping my suitcase around.
But there aren't that many places to go out in London anyway. People always think because it's, you know, the capital, there must be, oh, you can do anything and everything that you want. But, I mean, there isn't that many places really, is there?
Well, I don't know. It depends. There's so many great things to do in London that don't involve going to nightclubs, I think. You know, I like going to the theatre and the cinema. And I think if you go to the theatre one night a week, cinema one night, maybe go out dancing one night a week, or go to a gig one night where you can do a couple of nights training, that's the rest of your week, the whole week sort of taken up, I think.
What sort of theatre do you like?
Well, the last thing I went to see was Alan Bleasdale's play, Are You Lonesome Tonight, which is fantastic, and Martin Shaw was out of this world, and that it really made you feel like you were, you know, a fly on the wall in Elvis Presley's front room, and I thought that was amazing.
He has been highly acclaimed for that, Martin Shaw.
That was excellent. That was the last thing I went to see, and you know, I can't remember the last film I went to see. I think it was Rambo. I get Steve Wright in here doing his impersonation.
Don't push me. Whatever it is. I'm just not tempted to see that at all.
No, it was a bit disappointing, I thought, because I thought First Blood was really good, and that sort of surprised everyone, I think. I saw it on video, and then went to see Rambo, and it was... wasn't very good. I can see it being brilliant in America, all the Americans getting into it when he does his little speech at the end. But, you know, I prefer the Rocky films, I think.
U2, you said before that you're a great fan of U2, that you like the way that, you know, the songs evolve and things. Tomorrow, why have you gone for that off the album October?
Yeah, it's personally my favourite moment of U2 music that's ever been recorded. We've played with U2 a lot around the world, and we've seen them play all over the world. And we've only ever seen them perform this song on the first part of the war tour they did in Britain. And I thought...